You're listening to Wheelationships.
Last week we began a study of the God You Need to Know, and I can't stress how foundational and critical this series is to every relationship in your life. And I hope you begin to pick up on that as we go along. I really wanted to do this series because the next series we do totally depends on you understanding this series. So much of what we're going to cover in this series, most of you may already know and you may already be familiar with. A few of you, this may all be new, but for all of us, there are some very practical and life-giving, life-changing principles that I think God wants us to understand and to know. Trudy started us off last week identifying this God that we need to know, who is the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit in this series. And I'd be willing to guess that probably in every family that's represented here, you have a member of the family who's different. Maybe like weird different, like maybe not in your immediate family, but like an uncle or a cousin or a great aunt twice removed, something or the other, sister, you know, whatever. Just somebody there that you don't really talk about because you don't really want people to know that you're associated. You may talk about them, but it's never in a good way. That's how a lot of Christians handle the Holy Spirit. He's like the crazy uncle in the basement. Like that guy. I think that's, you know, for a lot of Christians, he's the relative you don't really want to talk about. We'll talk about Jesus. We'll talk about God the Father. But, you know, that guy, you just never know what he's going to do. He's going to do something crazy. Keep the sharp objects away from him because he may be running around doing like crazy stuff because he's the Holy Spirit. By the way, if you can't think of that person in your family, it's probably you. So just. And the confusion and the distortion about who the Holy Spirit is and his relationship to us is oftentimes either bad theology or bad teaching, or sometimes it's our enemy, Satan, who is deliberately trying to get us off track and not know the person of the Holy Spirit. So the first thing we need to know about the Holy Spirit is what Trudy talked about last week, that the Holy Spirit is our helper. And this is what we talked about last week, so I'm just catching you up and reviewing a second. But I wanted to say something else about this verse here that we read last week, John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Now, how does Jesus identify the Holy Spirit in this verse? As our helper, right? But he's not just our helper. What is he identified as? Another helper. He said, I'm going to give you another helper. Well, if there's another helper, then who is the other helper? Who is the original helper? Jesus. Exactly. He said, I'm going to give you another helper, just like me. Same motivations, same underlying principle of who we are. He's just like me. I'm going to give you another helper, just like me. I've been helping you, but now someone else is coming, and he is just like me. He's part of the Trinity. He's the same in essence. He has the same motivations. So with that in mind, it should come as no surprise that the Holy Spirit is our friend. Because here's what Jesus said about himself in John 15. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Obviously, Jesus did that. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, look at that last part of the verse, because there's the evidence. He's giving them evidence for why they could be called friends. I'm calling you friends. We're friends. Why is that? Because all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. All right. Now, just can we have an agreement right here? The baby doesn't bother me at all. Okay. Doesn't distract me. So don't let it. He's fine. Okay. Just it's all good. Notice the evidence. Okay. All that. So look at what Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do. 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So he says the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, what? Whatever he hears. Well, what is he hearing? He's hearing from whom? The Father. He says, whatever he hears from the Father, he will speak. Just like Jesus did. He said, we're friends because I'm telling you everything that the Father says. Holy Spirit, same deal. He's speaking to us everything he hears from the Father. And because of that, he's our friend. Right? You follow? Yep. He's our friend in the same way. And just like Satan, the devil, he does not want us to believe the right things about God the Father and about God the Son. And he'll tell us, he'll get us doubting. Oh, did God really say that? That's what he did with Adam and Eve. He'll get us doubting about God the Father. He'll tell us all kinds of falsehoods about God the Father and about God the Son. You know, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. God doesn't see you. He's not personally involved in. Those are all lies. Satan will say, you know, God the Father, he's just like your earthly father. And you can't trust him. All lies. But he's going to lie about the Holy Spirit the same way. And one of his biggest lies, we already talked about it, one of his biggest lies about the Holy Spirit is he's weird. He's strange. He's, you know, spooky. They used to call him Holy Ghost. What is that? Okay. And you know what evidence does the enemy give you for the fact that the Holy Spirit is weird? People. He gives you other people that are weird and do weird things. And like are just, you know, oh yeah, they dress funny and they don't wear certain things and they are always talking in your face like, you know. Weird people. Well, let me tell you, give you a clue here. Those weird people, before they came to know Jesus, they were weird. And if they had taken up stamp collecting, they would be weird stamp collectors. They're still the same weird people, okay? Their weirdness has no reflection on the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm trying to get across. So don't believe Satan's lies. Because he's the person who wants to be your friend. In fact, he wants to be a true friend. Scripture says a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And who could stick closer to their brother than a friend who actually lives inside you? That's who the Holy Spirit is. Now here's the fun part. The Holy Spirit is not just our friend. He's a friend with benefits. Okay, now you're going, you're being all provocative. Okay, well, that's deliberately, you know, the way it's used today is a little different. But the Holy Spirit is a friend who brings benefits with him. And the unfortunate thing is that when we avoid the Holy Spirit, we're avoiding the benefits that he brings to us. And the first and most obvious benefit of the Holy Spirit is power. Power. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Okay? Okay. Pastor told an old story today. Yeah, I'll tell one too. Because I just, when I, when I thought about this and power and stuff, it made me think, you know, the guy who had the axe and he goes into the hardware store and he tells the guy, I want to sharpen, I need this axe sharpened because I need to cut some wood. And the guy was looking at me, he goes, well, that's good, I can do that for you. Why don't you buy a chainsaw? And he goes, well, I don't want a chainsaw, I like my axe and it, you just need it sharpened. He goes, really, you ought to try the chainsaw because it'll save you money in the long run. And he goes, no, I like my axe. He goes, no, you ought to buy a chainsaw. In fact, if you buy the chainsaw, if you don't like it, you return it, I'll give you money back. He goes, no, I like my axe. He goes, I tell you what, if you use it and it'll double your productivity. He goes, what do? 10 cords of wood today? He goes, yeah, 10 cords of wood today. He goes, this will do like 10 times that. If it doesn't do 5 times that, I'll double your money back. I'll give you your money back and I'll give you one. He goes, okay, fine. I'll take the chainsaw. So he went home, took the chainsaw. Next day he comes back, he goes, it doesn't work. It did not work at all. I didn't get 10 cords of wood. I only got 5 cords of wood out of this thing. It was terrible. He goes, well, let me look at it. He looks at it. He goes, fine. And the chain's all good. And he checked it. And, you know, oil's all good. You know, it's all full of gas. And he's like, I don't get it. He goes, well, let's try it. And the guy goes, well, what's that noise? Holy Spirit brings us power. But if you don't avail yourself of that power, it really does you no good. And why struggle to live your life in your own power when there is real power, not figurative power, not like religious power. No, this is real power from the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the heavy lifting. And one of the great benefits of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit empowers us for is the second one, which is love. Look at this verse, Romans 5:5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Look at that closely. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now see, yes, God loves us, and feeling his love for us is a great thing, right? Isn't it great when you feel God's love for you? But there's more to this than just feeling God's love. It's not all this verse means. It also means he is giving us the power to choose to love. Through the Holy Spirit, God gives us, one of the benefits is the power to choose to love. And I think perhaps, maybe, one of the reasons we struggle and we fail to walk in love is because we fail to open ourselves to the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the best wingman ever. He's always there and he's saying, I'm going to give you the power to love. Now, I want you to stop and think a moment about the last negative relationship moment you had. I'm just talking, it doesn't have to be a big one. It doesn't have to be like the last big fight you had or last big blow up. I'm talking about the last negative relationship moment you had where it either you or the other person just felt a little negative. That last negative relational moment. Think about that one. And what is often the case in these negative relationship moments is that at least one person, could have been you, could have been the other person. Usually we say it's the other person, but at least one person had the choice to love, had the choice to do something that was life-giving to the relationship, and instead they did something else. And or they could have had some self-control in that moment and not just done what they felt like doing, but done something that was life-giving to the relationship. True? So how often when we think about it, how often when we could, when we're in that position and we could have made the choice to do the loving thing, we didn't. But we knew what the loving thing was. It's not that it escaped us. It was like right there in front of us. We knew I could put the seat down. I could put the cap back on the toothpaste. yeah, I could probably pick up those dirty clothes and take them to the laundry room. I could probably do that. I could take a moment and take the trash out, put my dirty dishes where they belong, things like that, you know, little things that we know, but we kind of move on. Well, they can take care of that. They won't mind. It'll be all right. We don't listen. We have the choice of love. And sometimes we'll even defend it. We'll go, well, I just can't help myself. Why? Because I don't have any self-control? Well, I do. I could. It's available. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. The Holy Spirit provides access to power, and that power leads to other benefits, like the benefit of being able to choose to love. See, many times we have kept going past that. We've kept going past that, and we say, no, I don't want to hear you. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. And over time, we just tune the Holy Spirit out. And he's spoken to us and said, hey, you know what you could do? Shh. But his power is there available for us. Got quiet in here. So one of the benefits is to choose love. But there's a whole, love is just the first of a whole set of benefits that we are empowered to receive. Thank you. We call this set, it was just a little early, because I thought I said, we call this set, fruit. Paul starts this section in Galatians off this way. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. In other words, live according to the power and help of the Holy Spirit. Let him guide you. That's what a guide is. They give you power and help. And then Paul outlines what happens when we don't do that. He says in verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, and he goes on and on and lists a bunch more. And then in verse 22, he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. So the results of living without the Holy Spirit guiding you are clear. And the results of living with the Holy Spirit guiding you are clear. Which would you rather choose? I hope it's the second one. Paul sums it up this way. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Would you like to live a life of greater love? Would you like to live a life of greater joy? Would you like to have greater peace? Would you like to be more patient? Would you like to be more kind? Would you like to be more self-controlled? The answer is not to be weird. All this will make me strange. No, it'll make you loving. It'll make you kind. It'll make you joyful. It'll make you peaceful. The answer is to follow the Spirit's leading in every part of your life. And the fruit, the results, this set of benefits will be the evident result of that. I'm not working to make it happen. It's going to be the evident result of following the Spirit's leading. The fourth benefit is also not just one benefit. It's a whole set of benefits. And this set is called gifts. Gifts. Now, we're going to go more in depth about the Spirit's gifts in a few weeks. But I'm just mentioning them here because they are a very important benefit of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And as we've said before, the devil doesn't like them. The devil doesn't like us to be benefited by the Holy Spirit. The devil doesn't like us to live a life of love. That nauseates him. And he doesn't like us to use spiritual gifts that God would give to us. Paul says to the Corinthians, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. So we're going to inform you. And we'll talk about the Holy Spirit and his gifts in a few weeks. But here's something else you need to know about your friend, the Holy Spirit. He's not a silent friend. He speaks. He's not a silent friend. He speaks. I know it's great when I can be with friend and we don't have to talk. This is me, okay? Trudy and I were walking around the block last night. We weren't talking the whole way. Sometimes we were just quiet. That's good. That's cool. I'm sure Job would have liked his friends to be quiet. Perhaps it would be more accurate, though, to say that the Holy Spirit communicates with us well. He speaks. He communicates with us well. Sometimes he communicates with us by being silent. But many times he speaks. You mean he talks? Yes, he talks. How? Well, the first way is through his word. Through his word. Aha, aha. So, you mean he writes? Well, yeah. He writes. He writes. He does more than just write stuff down, though. Let's not discount how the Holy Spirit speaks through the Bible, though. When you met... What if you met someone... And you wanted to, they were just so fascinating. Maybe this was you when you met your spouse to be. They were so, you wanted to know everything about them. You wanted, you know, you couldn't wait to go see their baby pictures and stuff from their childhood. And you wanted to know everything about them. And then you found out that they wrote an autobiography. Would you go read it if you really wanted to know about them? Probably, yeah. You want to know what they had to say. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit did. He wrote his own autobiography. We call it the Bible. See, some Christians make the mistake of thinking that being Spirit-filled and Spirit-led has nothing to do with Scripture. It's got everything to do with Scripture. The Holy Spirit inspired every word of the Bible. This is from the Passion Translation, 2 Timothy 3:16 in the Passion Translation. Every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Being a person who lives according to the direction of the Holy Spirit means that you will listen to what he has to say through what he has written. But the Holy Spirit also speaks through his voice. Yes, through actually speaking out loud. Sometimes that out loud is speaking in your thoughts because the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Sometimes he speaks through the voice of another person. Sometimes he speaks and it's only where you can hear it. We've already read this verse once, but I put it here in purpose so we can read it again. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He speaks. He declares. Now, Jesus said the following about himself, but it also applies to the Holy Spirit. He said in John, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate and is shepherd of the sheep, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep recognize his voice. See how many times voice comes up here. And come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. After he gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They run. Okay, yeah, I got that one. Did I do that one twice? Anyway, verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Just look through there. Voice, 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 voice. He has a voice. I know there are people who have done some really stupid and ungodly things and they try to justify it by saying, but God told me. No, he didn't. And Satan will use those kind of people to say, ha, see, it's just made up. It's just, Holy Spirit doesn't really speak. Yes, he does. And you can know his voice. But we have to get in the habit of listening. See, when my phone rings and I answer it and I hear Trudy's voice, I don't have to look at my caller ID. I don't have to go, who is this? I just hear her say, hey, I know who it is. Why? Because I've listened to her voice a lot, in a good way. And I've acknowledged her voice, and I've spent time with her. And some of you haven't really spent time listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit, and so you're like, I don't know that I hear him. Start listening, because he speaks. And the more you hear and understand and recognize and acknowledge the voice of the Holy Spirit, the easier it is going to be to communicate with him every time he speaks. Because the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our friend. And here's what's really amazing. And we've kind of mentioned this, but I want to make sure you get it. So I just put it there in words on your handout. The Holy Spirit is God. And if you want to know God, you need to know the Holy Spirit. Now, we've actually taken the first 2 weeks here kind of slow and kind of eased you in here. Next week, we start picking up the pace, and we're going to go at real speed. We've been about half speed the first 2 weeks. So get ready to come and listen. I hope to have you back. Let's pray before we go. Father, we thank you for your word. For Lord, we know that you speak through your word. We thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit, who lives with us when we accept him in and we come to you. Lord, you cleanse us, you refine us, and you guide us. And this week I ask that you would continue to speak, Lord, that we would have ears to hear, that we would have hearts to listen and obey, and that we would be used to be your hands and your feet in every aspect of our lives, Lord, that you would begin to open that up to us. And Lord, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.